Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Ball is a high drive in the deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is the
swing and a drive to deep right. Away back.
The big deal like Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack cookie and get a prize?
Oh, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land.
This is our sports report.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Schock in today. With Kurt Ashcraft, we are live in Studio A, ladies and gentlemen, and we are talking about the MLB trade deadline.
You know, one day they're going to allow us to have a webcam in here in Studio A.
Who's they?
They? You know, the powers that be, Jesus, he would allow us to have one day.
I sometimes claim to be a person that knows Jesus.
Yeah.
Some, a little.
I'm
by no means a good dude, but I know
the
cat, and I'm quite certain he does not give a crap about what we're doing here.
That's probably true. Yeah,
I'm just saying.
But I don't know. Can you imagine us having a webcam in here? Wouldn't that be great?
They don't need to see this.
They do need to see this. In Studio A, this is beautiful.
I mean,
I'll tell you what. We've got it going on here at our Sports Report.
Well, considering the fact that this is the back bedroom of Kurt's house, and it used to be occupied
by two seven-year-old girls
that used to live in this house. I'm quite certain this is not what most people would call the most manly place to have a sports studio.
It's what you consider manly.
However, it is what we have.
It is what we have, and we'll take it.
And we have a beautiful blue table that's quite large.
It is quite
for
large.
For our standards. So, and that was free.
Right.
The chairs were free.
Some might say this is better than Bristol, but then others would probably say not.
Some people, one specific guy actually, would most definitely claim that we are not better than Bristol. And that I myself have no idea what I'm talking about.
You're an idiot. Yeah.
Apparently, I'm an idiot. And we're really giving this guy more praise than he's due. But we actually, what we're doing is we are bragging slightly about the fact that we now are getting hate mail.
We are getting hate mail. We are making an impact on sad, sad people.
Yes. I mean, sure, we're only really pissing off the message board trolls.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, really. This dude probably lives in his parents' basement, spends all his money on, you know, pills or something like that. I don't know what.
Pills. Way to go.
I'm just going to go right for it. And, you know, probably doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
Unlike us, who, as we've mentioned, we both have full-time jobs. Not this. Clearly not this. I'm married. How in the world that happened? I'm still trying to figure that out.
A roll of the dice.
Good luck was on my side. And, you know, we seem to be stable people who don't live on mom and dad's couch.
No.
So we got that going for us.
Yeah. But, yeah, so just to let y'all know, we have hate mail now.
We do.
So we have made it.
I feel good about it.
Kind of.
But now we still suck.
Yeah, we're horrible.
Because somebody
God, we're awful.
Cares enough to tell us how much we suck. And to that I say, thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Now, if you might have been following the Twitters the other day, Thursday more specifically, right up until about, what was it, 4 p.m.?
O'clock, yeah.
4 p.m., that's when the deadline was. And I never understood what the big deal was growing up, but what it turns out basically is how this works. Is that baseball teams have until Thursday.
Whatever day that is.
Is it always the last day of July?
No, it's always on a Thursday.
It's
so
on a
no
Thursday.
Matter what that day is, it's that Thursday.
Okay,
it's like
well,
Thanksgiving.
There's always a Thursday at some point in the baseball season. you cannot make a trade after that Thursday without basically all of the other teams saying, yeah, that's fine.
Right.
They have to approve the trade more or less, or they get to screw it up for you and take the player for themselves or something to that effect. Bottom line, this is the last day. The day we're referring to is the last day when you can do whatever the hell you want.
Trade deadline, exactly.
So without any real consequences other than, you know, being an idiot and losing your job. Now, we had some big things happen.
Much bigger than I remember in recent memory.
This was a busy day.
It was a huge day.
The Cardinals getting busy. We had the Tigers getting busy. We had the Braves ticking me off a little bit. We had Seattle doing a little something. The Oakland A's making some waves. Billy Beans at it again.
Just kind of a prequel to all of but, you. Oakland had, like, the best rotation for, like, 3 hours.
We'll get to that.
But I know. I'm just, it was, you know, I'm giving people a little taste.
3 minutes, more like.
No, it was.
Well, I know it.
Even more than that.
It was a flash in the pan.
For a
second.
For a hot second, Oakland was the best.
And now, no. But before we get to that, well, let's talk about non-trade things that happened, because apparently that matters. The Twins, because I'm of the firm belief that, you know, Oakland is where players go to die, and when they let you go from Oakland, similar to when they let you go from New York, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
But the Twins have apparently decided to extend the contract of Kurt Suzuki.
Okay.
Good luck to them.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
He's not. Okay. I have a problem with people that use great and terrible as their only two words to explain people.
Should I do Charles Barkley?
Okay.
It's terrible.
Terrible.
Is that better?
No. No. I had a problem with one of my good friends at college.
He's a mediocre baseball player.
There you
Is
go.
Is that better?
That's all I needed to hear. He's decent, okay? Kurt Suzuki is decent.
Yeah, but if you get a team full of decent, who are you? The Cleveland Indians.
Okay. Rude.
I know. I had to go there.
You
or
did,
you're
you,
the Cincinnati
you,
Reds.
You always go.
How's that? Is that better? Is that more fair?
See, that's not the case, because they aren't a full team of decents. They've got some great ball players on that team who have turned into decents. Joey Votto.
Yeah.
Brandon Phillips.
Joey Votto is not, he doesn't have
a God, name. Homer Bailey. What sad sack of crap is he now? Wow.
Let's see here. We had some other things here. Brian Roberts, one of my favorite nothing baseball players for a long time.
He used to be a stud up in Baltimore.
Used to be great in Baltimore. He's gone. Yankees officially designated him for assignment.
Welcome to Cleveland.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Anyhow, the Yankees claim a bunch of people I've never heard of, and they release Scott Sizemore.
All right. To help you out here, the Yankees, they claimed Esmil Rogers from the Blue Jays, who was designated for assignment. Esmil Rogers was the guy sent from Cleveland to Toronto that brought Mike Avilas and Yan Gomes to the Indians.
Always comes back to Cleveland.
Always comes back.
Just like it always used to come back to the Expos.
Oh, Lord, it did.
But anyhow,
yeah.
The Pirates, they pick up Angel Sanchez and designate Josh Wall for assignment. Okay, good for them. The Athletics get rid of Jake Elmore. Anybody heard of him? No? Okay.
Okay.
And the Rockies get rid of Ryan Wheeler because everybody
knows who he is.
Really gives a crap about Ryan Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, my takeaway from that section was, remember when Brian Roberts used to be good?
Oh, yeah.
Those were the good old days.
It was when it's when he was amazing and Baltimore was terrible.
Baltimore sucked.
And now he's horrendous.
And they're good.
And Baltimore's good.
He just doesn't know how to rise to the occasion.
He's not apparently. Chris Davis.
Or was now, has he been the same and they've just gotten better so now he looks bad? Or, you know what I'm saying? Is he consistent and they just went above? Or
a few years ago he had a
did
serious
they get better
injury.
And he went down and now he's terrible.
I don't know. Regardless, he's bad.
Huh. Well, anyhow, that wraps up the first segment. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of some of these trades for this year's trades deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Kurt has got some strong words and some strong feelings coming up about his beloved tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And we will get to that right away on the podcast of Our Sports Report. And I really can't stall any longer. And there's the commercial. Beautiful.
For the latest sports stories for the fans, from the fans, check out Our Sports Report. Conveniently located on the interwebs at oursportsreport.wordpress.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Our Sports Report podcast. Matt Schock alongside Kurt Ashcraft, and we are covering Thursday's festivities, which is the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Now, Cleveland, what more do we really need to say?
Just the city? My now, goodness.
Cleveland, no. they unloaded some talent. Now, I am not one who's going to say that Cleveland unloaded a lot of fabulous talent. They unloaded Justin Masterson, and they also unloaded Ezdrubal. I call him Ezdrubal.
Ezdrubal?
Just Drool.
Okay.
He's got the little spittle. Anyhow, Ezdrubal Cabrera and Justin Masterson. Just go with it.
Okay.
So they got rid of them.
Yeah.
Okay. We all saw this coming because, frankly, they both were getting a little rocky, and they were coming up on the last year's their deal.
Right.
So it's time to either pay them or send them away.
Here's the whole point behind getting those two out of town. Okay, this year you obviously know you're still in the hunt to get the wild card. Two games under 500 currently. If you win tonight, you're one game under 500, 53 and 54. If it sticks, what this shows is that you've been able to do this pretty much with Ezdrubal Cabrera hitting 240 on the season, which Mike Avilas can fill in immediately and do that.
No problem.
Which has already done since Cabrera's been gone. And two, this rotation, as young and as discombobulated as it is, they've pretty much been able to succeed and stay consistent without Masterson, who's been out, I think, at least a few weeks. He's harbored with injury problems. His knee has been bothering him. I know he's been bothered ever since last season. So it made sense to get rid of two guys that really weren't going to do anything for you as the season went on. Masterson still labored by that knee injury. I don't think the Cardinals are going to get much out of him. If they do, it's on a blessing and a prayer. But Masterson and Cabrera made sense to get rid of because you weren't going to be able to bring back Cabrera with the money he's going to be wanting.
Oh,
he's
no.
going to be wanting $15, $16 million a year. And I see it, and I was just talking about it with my grandpa earlier. It makes perfect sense for him to become a New York Yankee next year. Because Derek Jeter is gone.
And he's old.
And he's getting up there, and he's still got a bit of a name. So he's going to make the perfect shortstop for the New York Yankees.
That is the best point you've ever made on this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
He's overrated and old. Therefore, he belongs in navy blue pinstripes.
Yes.
Perfect.
And as for Masterson, he turned down $17 million a year that the Tribe were wanting to offer. And he's going to want $18, $19 million. He's going to want Homer Bailey money.
He ain't going to get it.
And, okay, someone will give him something close. They're stupid, but they will because they can. Cleveland can't afford to do that. They can't give a guy 3-4 years at $18 million. It's just not going to happen. Especially as inconsistent as he has been over the duration of his career, on top of the drop in velocity that he had on his fastball from last year to this year at darn near 2 miles an hour. And you got to take that stuff into consideration. Yeah, he's only 29 years old, but still, you got to look at the positives and the negatives on this one. And even though you only got a double A, outfielder who the Tribe are very high on, and so were the Cardinals for Masterson, I would have liked them to get another pitcher, another starting arm, possibly. But you know what? You're not going to get much for a guy that's just coming off the disabled list. You got to get what you can get. And that's the same for Cabrera's deal. You sent him, you get a guy named Zach Walters. I've never heard of Zach Walters, but the Tribe seemed to be high on this middle infielder. Guy's going to play shortstop, probably fill in when Avilas needs to take a day off at short. So, yeah, that makes sense. I would have liked him to see him get maybe a veteran arm. I was talking to you about John Lackey earlier in the week, thinking that might make a little bit of sense. Even yesterday, as the day was coming to an end, we were getting closer to the trade deadline. There was a guy down in Houston, Jared Cozart, who was becoming available. Young arm, great young kid. I was really thinking, hey, this makes a lot of sense. But Miami went in and got him out of Houston, and weren't able to get anything. At the end of the day, your team really hasn't changed.
Not a ton.
No, you lost your everyday shortstop, but you just fill him in with a guy that was pretty much going to take over for him once Cabrera got traded, because Mike Avilés is making $3.5 million a year compared to 10 that Asdrubal's making. So it just makes sense.
All right, and I think the Indians this year, I think they acted the way they should have at the deadline. I mean, as I talked to you earlier, they're very much a tweener organization.
They are, yeah.
They're not the Cubs, okay? The Cubs are smack in the middle of a rebuild. The Indians are past that. They already did their dismantling a few years ago. They're done with that. They're not the A's or the Tigers either. They're not loaded for bear and getting ready to make the big playoff run either. So they're right in the middle where they got to be very careful. And signing a Justin Masterson to a 4-year contract, if it goes badly and his leg falls off, which we all think will happen,
yeah,
they're stuck with that, and that cripples the organization for a decade almost.
Now, see, what I would have done, and I've listened to a lot of quote-unquote experts on this whole thing, and I would have seriously pulled the trigger on David Price before the season started. I was totally behind that, totally behind bringing him into Cleveland. Apparently the deal was there was a couple of low-A minor leaguers they wanted, but they wanted Carlos Santana and they wanted Francisco Lindor. Okay? Yeah. Seems like a lot now.
I'd give up Santana all day.
Yes, absolutely. Giving up Carlos Santana, even though he's hitting the crap out of the ball. But to get a big About league time. Ace arm like David Price – brings you back to 07 when you had CC Sabathia, a guy that you could trust every time you go out there. And he's the guy that's going to get you the win, or at least get you close enough to get the W.
Yeah.
That's why you got to make and Jensen Lewis, you know, a guy that works for Fox Sports Ohio and STO, he was talking about that. You know, they're always laboring, they're always, you know, keeping on to the young prospects. Yeah, that's all great and all, but if you want to take that next step, you have to bring someone and you have to take a chance on someone like a David Price, where you know you have at least 2 years of him, and bring him in to be the ace. So
I don't disagree with that per se.
Right.
But I look at it and go, of course Carlos Santana would start hitting this close to the trade deadline.
Uh-huh.
Heaven forbid he would hit all season and you could get something for him.
Right.
That helps you out. You know, heaven forbid. So it is what it is. And I don't think the Indians are terribly off at this point.
No, I don't think they are.
And I think this gives them budget space to maybe make some things happen this offseason. And maybe prep up next year or the year after and make that big run. They're just not there yet.
No, they're not.
And if any Tribe fan really looked at the beginning of this season and really thought to themselves that they were ready to make that run, I really would question that.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd go, really? You really thought that this was the year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't all be Cubs fans and go, maybe next year. That doesn't work for all of baseball. But, you know, for the Indians, I thought, not quite.
No,
they've got a good trend going with Francona as the manager. He's working great with all the young guys.
He really is.
And chewing his bubblegum. But
so much
bubblegum. He's just not – it's not quite there.
That's true.
So the Indians are going to be real fun to watch over the next couple of years, though.
Totally agree. And one thing – I mean, you look at this roster, it's not the offense that is killing them. It is being able to stable what you have in your rotation. Yeah, Corey Kluber's looking phenomenal. Absolutely incredible. He is the bona fide either number one, number two guy in that rotation, depending on who you bring in. Okay?
Pitched a shutout the other night.
Beautiful. 85-pitch shutout.
85-pitch shutout.
Wow. Trevor Bauer's looking good. Danny Salazar's looking much better on the way up and up. All right, things are looking all right.
That's it. There are a couple pieces away, and it's not quite time.
Right. What they need to do this offseason, whether it's in the offseason, whether it's in August, I don't care when it is. Because you know how trades happen in August and things can happen if, you know, people get dumped and things like that.
Yeah, people start getting creative when they realize that, oh, we really can't make the run we thought.
Exactly. So that's always an opportunity. If that's the case, whether it's, like I said, August or in the offseason, you've got to bring in a decent 2-3 arm. Somebody's got to come in this rotation. You can't keep continuing to hope that these young kids are going to turn into something. Yeah, Bauer's looking much better than what we anticipated looking after last year. And so is Danny Salazar after his stint in Columbus this year, looking much better. Now, Zach McAllister just got designated for assignment, and and you're without another guy. So you've got to be able to bring someone in that you can trust to give the ball to be your number two or number three guy. That has to happen.
Well, don't worry. Next year you can get a couple starters from the Cubs. They're always willing to dump a couple people at the deadline. So, a couple good quality pitchers. You'll be fine. You can sign Samardzija in the offseason. He'd be good in Cleveland.
Okay, Samardzija's going to want way too much goatee. Money. He's all right, Samardzija's going to go to Boston. He just seems like a Boston kind of guy.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He went to Notre Dame.
Samardzija went to Boston. Yeah.
That's enough of that before we go too far.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the Cubs made me sad.
They always make you sad.
Well, okay. There was one player this year on the Cubs besides Samardzija. He was fun to watch. But one position player who I thought was fun to watch, okay, made me enjoy watching a Cubs game.
Okay.
None other than my switch-hitting best friend, Emilio Bonifacio.
Okay.
Who now plays for the Atlanta Braves. And much like Ryan Shazier, he is now dead to me.
Of course.
So therefore, I'm sad because we had a good run.
Okay, let me ask
and
you
I,
this.
And I'm okay.
Bonifacio's deal, was it a 1-year deal?
I think.
Okay.
I think it was strictly a deal of they looked at him and thought, oh, we can take him for a year for cheap, flip him.
That's exactly what they did.
The Cubs are all about flipping houses right now.
Yes.
Which is fine.
So, okay,
I'm just saying, you may have.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He was fun to watch. The dude could rake.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's
which
what
is why on a
1-year
deal with a team that is going nowhere in 2014, you dump him
again
and get someone else.
Again, I'm not arguing that. Well, I'm just saying, I really
like
watching
him. I can hear you. I hear you
I'm
that
sure
he was fun
as heck
to watch.
I'm not going
to
watch him play for the Braves.
God, no.
That's all.
No.
I'm not tuning into a Braves game with their annoying announcer.
Why are you digging on the Braves? Why?
And the Braves win.
What is
you know who I'm talking about.
Who is that?
Oh, who is? I forget. It's not the point.
Okay.
Anyhow,
well, apparently it was the point.
I can't do it.
You've just lost it.
As bad as Tom Hamilton is, I can't do it. Yeah, I just went there for you. Anyhow, Tom Hamilton's a peach, but he's no Herb Score. Can we just say it? Can we just say it? And he surely is no Ernie Harwell. Anyhow, on to other things, which I'm not sure what. And, but as I was saying, it made absolutely zero. And if you could see the look on Kurt's face, you would act like I just slapped Jesus in front of him. That's what you would think. I didn't.
This friendship? Over.
We're done.
We're done right now.
Okay. We're done because I've said something on the podcast that I've been saying
you
for the last year.
Don't talk about Tom Hamilton that way. Hammy, maybe the greatest to ever put a microphone up to his freaking mouth. Yes. Yes. Don't you dare talk about him like that. Oh. Friendship over. This is it.
For that.
We are done.
We're done because of that. You've witnessed the disillusion of our sports
report. It's over.
On air. We're done.
I'm really hurt. That really
no, you're not.
Stuck me deep. Okay. I'm not even going to go there.
Yes, you are. Go. Keep it clean for the kids.
I have nothing to say. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Well, we've got what's the problem? Come on. I know you've got something.
You said that Tom Hamilton is that bad. Okay. Yeah. He might not be as legendary as Ernie Harwell
exactly.
And Ben Scully and all those guys.
But he tries
But
to
in
be.
Today's game, he's the best.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
You know who is?
Who?
Bob Uecker.
Okay, Bob Uecker's almost dead. God rest
great.
His soul. Oh, he's phenomenal.
He's great.
No.
He's great.
As relevant is Tom Hamilton's the
and
best.
And the other good guy, Bob Brenly.
Okay, Bob Brenly is a color guy.
Fantastic. This is true. Fantastic.
There's
color
difference.
Guy. But the trade deadline usually has nothing to do with announcers, so I feel like we should move on.
No.
What did the Cubs also do? They took and got this dude from Boston I've never heard of.
Felix DeBrant.
Yeah. And I think that we... Did we talk about him already?
We did not.
But we're going to talk about him when we come back on our sports report.
Yeah.
For honest sports stories for the fans from the fans, check out our sports report. Featuring fan commentary on the latest sports stories and issues from college football to ice hockey. Find us online at oursportsreport.wordpress.com.
Welcome back to the Our Sports Report podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking the MLB trade deadline, and I'm already expecting loads of hate mail from the Cleveland faithful as I have just insulted Jesus on the
Send it in bunches, folks. Please.
Anyhow, last segment we talked about the moves that the teams that we both root for made. But now we get to turn our attention to the rest of the sport and touch on the Detroit Tigers.
Right.
No, we're not going with the Tigers just yet.
You want to go Oakland?
We're going to go with Oakland.
Okay.
Who I thought made one of the biggest splashes.
Holy Moses, they did.
Until Detroit stepped in, but we'll get to that. The Athletics acquire John Lester and Johnny Gomes and cash, because, of course, it's the Athletics. They need all the cash they can get from the Red Sox in exchange for the Cuban crusher himself, Yoenis Cespedes. Now, this is a dude that I wanted the Cubs to go all in for because I thought we could build around a guy like this. But no, Billy Bean. And at the time when he did this, I thought, what in the world are the A's going to do with that contract? There is no way they can afford that guy. Because it was a fairly big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a fairly big amount of money to pay just to talk to him, if I remember right.
It was a lot of money.
And so I really did. I thought, what in the world are the A's going to do with that? They can't afford crap. Now we know what the A's were going to do with that. And we should have seen it coming. We all watch Moneyball. The movie's old enough to know what was going on for that.
Yeah.
We should have seen it. And yes, okay, time out. Everybody's going to make fun of us because we love Moneyball. Let's just... We're not going to pretend we don't. It's a good
movie. It's a phenomenal
movie.
I love it.
And we like it. So, bite me.
Yeah.
Live with it. We're a blog. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. Now, as we get back to that, and I'm not letting you talk. We should have seen this coming.
Absolutely.
Because there's no way that Billy Bean was going to pay this guy for his full contract, and there's surely no way he was going to sign him for an extension, so you had to expect this guy to move at some point.
Right. But this was all depending on Yoenis Cespedes becoming what Yoenis Cespedes has become.
Oh, exactly.
Okay? I mean, literally, we don't know what we're going to get out of some of these guys, especially these Cubans that defect and come into the major leagues. You really never know what you're going to get sometimes. A lot of them have been pretty phenomenal. Okay?
Are you saying that you've sat at those tables and you've watched them say, when I know. And it, when it comes to your son, I know. But you're saying they don't.
Okay.
Anyhow.
What I'm trying to say is that literally this was a roll of the dice, a gamble by Billy Bean back when they signed Yoenis Cespedes a few years ago.
What?
Everybody thought he was going to be phenomenal, okay? And the money they spent to get this guy was huge. But they literally had this in track, signing this guy to literally set them up for a deal like so that their team was going to improve that much over the last few years. Now, remember, when they first signed Cespedes, they were pretty much crap.
Yeah.
Oakland was what Oakland has been for a long time.
Flowing in the locker room.
Exactly. And... All of a sudden, they had a few guys here. Coco Chris comes into town. They got these young arms in the rotation. Josh Donaldson is a bona fide MVP candidate for crying out loud, which is amazing. And but the thing is that all those pieces needed to come together for a trade like this. So when this came available, and the Athletics are in the position that they're in, leading all the majors with their record. And the best team in baseball right now is the fact that you can dump a guy because you still have enough bats to do what you do. And
you don't become the leading offense on one guy.
No, you do
Everybody
not.
Has to produce
no.
for that.
No. So you can dump this guy, get guys like Johnny Gomes, who's going to fill in the outfield, who played in Oakland before, has a good rep there. And then on top of that, you might get one of the top five arms in the game. Okay?
Which they did.
Which they did. Now, granted, he's probably only going to be there for 2 months, and he's probably going to go back to Boston on a new deal.
Definitely a rental player.
Absolutely.
No
he's not staying
about
in Oakland.
It. No.
And they don't have the money to keep him in Oakland. So, literally, all the stars had to align up for Billy Beane for this to happen, and they did.
Absolutely. And you look at it, they wrote the Cespedes deal just long enough to give them time to develop him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, anybody looked at him in all his baseball in Cuba and said, he's going to be good. Everyone knew this. Everyone was after him.
Which just blew my mind when he signed with Oakland.
Exactly. And I thought, really?
Yeah.
I mean, the Cubs are pinching pennies like you've never seen, and I'm not sure why. But even I thought, well, they could have pulled the trigger for better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, were the Cubs just really that scared by the Soriano deal that they...
That could be. But you spent the same kind of money on Soler, didn't you? It was close.
Something like... What's Soler getting? 10 mil a year?
It was really in the same ballpark.
10 years, 6 mil, something like that?
I think so.
But he's bouncing around the minors right now. I think he's officially at AAA.
Okay.
So he's almost there.
But, I mean, you guys did the same thing. And L.A. did the same thing with Yasiel Puig. All right? All the hype is there, okay? These Cuban defects are supposed to be the next big thing, and they're going to take Major League Baseball by storm. Okay, and I understand that. I get it. We've seen it happen now in L.A. We've seen it happen in Oakland, now Boston, possibly in Chicago. But what the fact of the matter is that you literally have to try this out to see where it takes you. And if you're in a position to send them off because of the big payday they're eventually going to get, these small market teams, I like what Oakland did with it. You have to do it. You absolutely have to do it. That's why I see no problem with what, you know, say like a Cleveland or a Cincinnati or someone like that doing it. Cincinnati was the first one to do it with Aroldis Chapman, okay? Mm-hmm. This stuff happens. Now, granted, Aroldis Chapman got swatted in the head by a ball, so his progression might not be as high as it would have been.
He's still there.
He's still there. But you have to make these acquisitions happen to build for the future, and if all the stars align, then it will.
Well, I think there's a difference between – what the A's did with Cespedes and what the Dodgers did with Puig and the Cubs did with Soler and all these others. The Dodgers and the Cubs and the Reds, I don't think have any intention of getting rid of their guys. Whereas I think the Oakland deal was specifically done for this exact thing. I think it was built to make a run at some point to where they went, we're going to dump him.
Right.
We're going to dump him. We have no even inclination of signing this guy for the next big deal.
But the difference from Oakland to those three clubs you just talked about, money is an issue with Oakland, smaller market, L.A., Chicago, and Cincinnati, because Cincinnati is baseball, okay? So they have the capital, the money, the fandom to do those kind of deals, keep those guys in town, okay? So for Oakland, they couldn't.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. But L.A. can keep Puig. They'll keep him there for years until he does something stupid. But Chicago, Soler will probably be with you guys for a very, very long time. Chapman is a different story. We don't know what's going to happen. He'll probably be there for a duration of his career. But it's just amazing how small markets and big markets plan ahead, you know, even 3-4 years ago of how it all goes.
Let's talk about what the A's starting rotation looks like. Because, as we said, for a hot minute, this was the best rotation in baseball.
Yes.
And I almost say it still is based on price and, not the player, literally price and versatility.
Yeah.
And what they have six pitchers right now.
Okay.
Six starters. You have Scott Kazmir, Sonny Gray, John Lester, Jeff Smarja, Jesse Chavez, and Jason Hamill.
It's pretty dirty.
That, I mean, they could legitimately keep and use all six of those guys through this whole run.
They could.
They could. Now, Jason Hamill hasn't been pitching as good as he was in Chicago.
Something tells me Hamill's probably going to go. Either Hamill or Chavez are going to go to the pen. Something tells me they're going to go.
I think Hamill's going to go out of town.
You think he's going to lose his spot?
No, I think they'll trade him.
Okay.
Just for fun. They will find a way to flip him into something.
Well, yesterday after they brought Lester into town, there was already rumors of Hamill being sent out.
Yeah.
I think he's gone too. That makes sense.
So, but isn't that a nice problem to have if you're the A's?
Mm-hmm.
Too much starting pitching.
Yeah.
Oh, darn it. If we all should be so lucky.
Right? And that is what makes this whole sabermetrics thing work, okay? One thing I was not a fan of about the Moneyball movie is that they did not really explain how that team was able to go on the run that they did, okay? Yeah, they used it with hits and runs and stuff like that, and, you know, kind of getting the little guy in town and being able to work it that way. What they did not talk about is the rotation that they had with Mark Mulder, Barry Zito, other names that literally it was one of the top two, three best rotations in all of baseball.
They had a solid team. They just had to fill some spots that were gone.
Right.
That was all it was.
Exactly. Yeah.
They didn't just create a team out of nothing.
So, exactly. One thing people forget is how good the pitching was on that team. Okay? Yeah. So, to make this work, you can, you know, put pieces here and there in your offensive lineup and your defensive lineup. But when it comes to making it happen, you have to have a good rotation. And that's what Oakland is doing right now, and seemingly that's what Detroit is going into as well.
Well, at that time, Oakland still had, like, even Barry Zito when he was still good.
Phenomenal.
When he wasn't crazy.
Right.
They still had him. They had, who was the other?
I'm trying to think.
It was a bunch.
It was Tim Hudson, Mark Mulder.
Yeah.
That
was who I was thinking, Tim Hudson.
Yep. And Barry Zito.
And
there was a couple other arms.
Look at where
there.
All those guys are now. Either their arms are falling off or they're nuts. Mm-hmm. They got the use out of them while they could.
That's
bottom
true.
Line. Now, the A's also went and got my guy. They got Sam Fold from the Twins. I love Sam Fold.
For Tommy Malone.
And I know exactly why they went and got Sam Fold, because they went and looked and went, oh, we just traded an outfielder. Our bench is looking a little thin. Who do we know of that can play and is good and will cost nothing? Mm-hmm. And they went, oh, Sam Fold, because he's played for nothing for everyone. Good enough. And I love the guy because he plays hard and he goes. And I sound like an idiot scout saying this, but, I mean, I thought it was a great move. I was almost more excited about that than the stupid Cespedes trade.
And literally, they got him for a guy that they were sending down to the minors regardless.
Yeah. He was on the hook no matter what.
Absolutely.
So, might as well get a little something out of him. Sure up the bench a little bit for the playoff run. Now, we could throw in a couple little trades if you want.
Before we get to the other one, big one?
Yeah. We'll do the final big one.
Okay.
After the break.
There were a couple that really irked me. And
really
irked me.
We're going to get Kurt cranked up, and it's not going to be directed at me.
We all know that Kurt is not a fan of the New York Yankees.
Oh, here we go.
I do not like the New York Yankees. I never will. Probably will be upset with them for the duration of time. But they actually got a little bit better yesterday, and it bothered me on Thursday. And they added Steven Drew from the Red Sox. Don't know why the Red Sox traded someone to the New York Yankees. Never makes sense. They got Steven Drew, plays shortstop.
It didn't
work
well for him last time. Went a bunch of years after.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth. Anyhow.
Yeah, there you go. So Steven Drew, going to platoon it short, play some second, blah, blah, blah. All right. And then they went and got my guy, a dude I love who plays left, was in Arizona, Martin Prado. And he just went to New York as well. So the Yankees got better, and it irks my chain because they literally got these guys for peanuts. They traded Peter O'Brien, who is a backup catcher up in New York. Actually, third string catcher. Let me make that correct. He is the Lou Marson of the New York Yankees. So he is now headed to Arizona. And then in the Steven Drew trade, they traded Kelly Johnson, who literally cannot hit a pitch this year. Literally can't touch anything. He is God awful. And somehow they were able to make it a straight up trade, Steven Drew for Kelly Johnson. I know Steven Drew's on a 1-year stinging contract, but holy Moses Malone, what the hell?
It's the Yankees.
It's crap.
The Yankees are crap. You know why they're forced to do this crap? Because they sign stupid players for stupid amounts of money. You sign a Derek Jeter because he's basically a hood ornament at this point. You have Rodriguez on the books for a bunch of years for no reason.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it goes. And we'll elaborate more on this after the break.
Want our up-to-date opinions on the latest sports happenings? Then follow us on Twitter at @OS_report. It'll change your life.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Our Sports Report podcast. We are covering the MLB trade deadline. And I want to thank you all for suffering through this podcast with me. I don't usually host. I leave that to Kurt. But today he was feeling lazy and told me to do it. So here we are. Now, you're allowed to react. It's okay.
No reaction.
That was a shot.
No, you made me look like a ding-dong.
It's actually
and I'm not
the case.
No.
Kurt is the least egotistical broadcast man I know.
Thank you.
And that is saying something. And none of the people who we have worked with, I'm positive none of them listen to this. We can say it. They're assholes. That's how it works. You have to be one in this industry.
You do. And you got to have thick skin, and you have to have...
And Kurt is not. He is thick, but he is also very thick-skinned.
Yeah.
So, there's that. Now, we do have one more big trade to get through.
Yeah, it was a big one.
And this one totally knocked baseball on its hind end.
Remember when we said that Oakland was like the best, they had the best rotation in baseball for like 3 hours?
That was literally...
It ended right when this trade happened.
That was about all they had. And Billy Bean was probably, you know, lifting weights or something in the locker room, going, man, I got it down. And then the Tigers went and made just a... what are you doing over there? Is it really that important? I don't know what he's doing. But anyhow, the Tigers went and picked up David Price in a three-team deal with the Mariners. The Mariners got Austin Jackson, and then the Rays got Drew Smyly, Nick Franklin, and Willie, I'm going to say Adams because I can't read. So that's what we're going with. Now, as Kurt was saying, this is the absolute blockbuster trade of the day because this now gives Detroit the best starting rotation in baseball. They now have Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer with the weird eyes, David Price, Anibal Sanchez, and Rick Porcello.
Unbelievable.
And Kurt texted me Thursday and said, I am now drinking bleach. Because he pretty much knows that the Tribe are dead in all further games against Detroit.
No doubt about it.
It's hard to argue with that.
When you play teams like this, like the Tigers and the A's and stuff like that, you target to see what matchups you're going to have. And you hope you don't have to face a Justin Verlander. And that used to be the only case with the Tigers. You hope that you didn't have a Verlander matchup in your series. Now, you don't have any of that. Because as many times as the Tribe plays Detroit, since it's in the division, they will always see either Price, Verlander, Scherzer, Porcello, Sanchez. Yeah. It is unreal. You can't catch a break. And there was a Columbus area sports announcer this morning on a sports radio show. He was talking, if you're a Cleveland Indians fan, your head is hanging. You don't know what to do. I mean, yeah, they just won tonight, but holy Moses. And literally the shot, and any shot you had of possibly winning the division is gone now because of what they did. And two, literally you're just hoping that the wild card looks a lot better.
It's really a big chess match is what it is.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah.
And they just, that was checkmate.
And
for the division at least.
It's amazing. It has always amazed me how Dave Dombrowski can pull these things off.
What I want to know is where in Detroit have they found the people with enough money to buy the tickets to the games?
That's what I have no idea.
That city is a dump.
But people still go.
I mean, that park might be the greenest grass in the whole stinking city. including the Parks Department, okay?
No kidding.
Except for maybe the good folks down there at the Navin Fields ground crew.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for another time. I mean, I literally can't figure out how Detroit does it. Because Detroit now supposedly is one of those Midwest small market teams. But they don't act like it.
They spent big money. They spent big money on Anibal Sanchez. They spent big money to keep Miggy Cabrera in town.
They spent
big money
counts.
On Verlander. For what?
They spent money where it counts.
Yeah. No, I understand. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But still, they continue to throw this money around and make it happen. And it's unreal how they pull this off. And just to let you all know, they acquired David Price, and all they really had to give up was Drew Smyly, who, yes, young upcoming pitcher, and Austin Jackson, a center fielder who really hasn't done much here lately.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Austin Jackson?
Did he play for the Tribe last year?
Austin Jackson? No, he was sent over a few years ago when Curtis Granderson was traded to the Yankees. It was that swap. Austin Jackson has been the center fielder up in Detroit for the last 4 or 5 years.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Austin Jackson. Literally, on Jackson on the decline, and Smyly, yeah, a lot of proof, but literally, that's all they gave up to get David Price.
Yeah.
David Price! Dave Dombrowski is literally a genius when it comes to negotiations and trades.
Who's the GM down in Tampa Bay?
Not exactly who it is down there.
Well, whoever he is, I'm pretty sure David Dombrowski has naked pictures of him. Because, what, like you said, you don't just give up one of the best. David Price has won the Cy Young in the last 3 years.
Yes, he has.
It's not exactly as though he's like, you know, like Chris Carpenter was a couple years ago, where
right.
he's fallen apart and done. No, David Price has a lot of baseball left in him.
Literally, the Tigers and have the last three Cy Young Award winners in their rotation.
The last 3 years is now the Detroit Tigers Cy Young dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with you. I'm speechless. The guy's got dead hookers or something. And I know I'm stealing some people's lingo, but it's got to be true.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's skeletons in that closet or something.
What does that guy have to hide where he just was like, yeah, sure, I'll sell you David Price for a stick of gum. I really don't get it. What's he giving him, a pack of baseball cards?
Literally, back in the offseason when the Tribe was making, you know, offers for David Price, they were literally offering Carlos Santana, Francisco Lindor, and a couple of AA guys for David Price.
That's a hell of a lot more.
That
than
was
they just
much
got.
Better than what they did.
Oh.
And the thing is, David Price, he's not just a rental player. He's got another year on his contract.
You saw in the A's deal what another year of team control does for you.
Mm-hmm.
It gets you two good players, not just one. Two top shelf players. Well, okay. It gets you a top shelf pitcher and a good guy.
Yes.
Okay. This got you neither. This got
nothing.
You two prospects, which probably will amount to crap.
Literally, Billy Bean was doing the happy dance, and then Dave Dombrowski said, checkmate. I win.
Done.
Boom.
You think you got it? No.
Oh, the all time one upper. This guy just knows how to just win. He wins everything.
Does he?
I can't win a World Series, though.
Well, that's not everything, is it?
Mm.
Well, of course, I don't know where I'm going with that.
I have no idea.
Does he play chess?
Who?
Like the actual
Dave Dombrowski?
Board game?
I don't know. Let's get him on the horn and find out.
You got his number?
I do not know. Yeah, well, a matter of fact, I have his number.
Dial him up on my phone.
Yeah.
We need a secretary.
Hey, buddy, you had a nice week. You want to talk?
You remember?
What?
We need a secretary.
We do need a secretary. I don't know where we're going to find one.
I know.
But
we need somebody who's pretty and works for free.
If
you're
listening and you're pretty and you work for free, we'd love to have you here at our Sports Report. All we need is a resume and a smile. That's it.
You can work in the beautiful purple confines of Studio A. When are we going to fix this place? It's awful.
This is not awful.
this is terrible.
Hey, I pay mortgage on this, buddy.
You finance the purple room.
I do. Finance the purple room.
I can get the rest of the house.
No, my brother was talking about, he wanted to do some like red, white, and blue stripes for like Indians and stuff like that. So I'm interested in doing something along those lines.
We just went too far.
Why is that?
I don't know. Okay. It just seems wrong. Maybe it's the purple room that got us. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's not the point. What else happened today? Or not today. Thursday, rather. Anything good? The Marlins, apparently, and the Astros.
The Jared Cozart deal?
Got a bunch of people that I don't know.
Yeah. Way to come prepared, shocker.
I don't know who they are.
It's all right.
It's the Astros and the Marlins. Who cares?
The big trade that got me, that really upset me, remember I was saying that I wanted John Lackey to come to Cleveland, but the Cardinals got him, and even though they got Justin Masterson the day before, they got John Lackey and Corey Luttrell from Boston for Joe Kelly and Alan Craig.
How do we not even talk about
that? When I saw that trade, I'm thinking, holy Moses, the Cardinals gave up a lot. The more I looked into it, though, Shock, is that apparently St. Louis is kind of down on Joe Kelly and Alan Craig. I don't know why. Apparently they've lost some of their stellar muster or whatever the fact may be.
They've lost their whatsy.
Yeah. Their chutzpah. I have always been a huge fan of Joe Kelly. I love him to death. And Alan Craig's phenomenal. Plays outfield, plays first base. Huge fan. I think he's a phenomenal player. Yeah, they might be on the downhill. But still, that is a lot for John Lackey, who literally... I never liked him. I literally, when I was talking to Shock about the possibility of John Lackey coming to Cleveland, it was like, it's that famous... Harry Doyle saying that says that where Harry Doyle in Major League 2 said it's amazing what another jersey can do for a guy. He's still a prick. And so that was going to be my thought with John Lackey, but hey, I was going to get over it, but now my hate just translates to St. Louis.
Yeah. And Parkman does his shimmy. It drives the women in Cleveland crazy.
And then when he got traded, it makes the women in Cleveland
puke.
It makes
them cute. Yes.
Lord.
Yeah, how did we forget to talk about the John Lackey deal?
You were fishing around looking for something. I'm like, here's a good trade to talk about.
That is the crap that went on Thursday.
Yeah.
That you forget about John Lackey.
Exactly. When you have trades that are headlined by John Lester and David Price,
yeah.
John Lackey's kind of, you know, the consolation prize.
John Lackey's kind of a schizophrenic pitcher.
And
he's either great or awful. And he just puts enough great performances together to make you think that he's pretty good. That's kind of how I view it.
That's true.
And
he had a really resurging year last year.
And he's, the thing he's got that makes him attractive in a situation like this is he has postseason experience.
Right.
And that's really where you get it. Now, what else here? Is there anything else that we even give a crap about? The Mariners! When did the Mariners become buyers at the trade deadline? The last I knew, the Mariners signed Robinson Cano, and they had Felix Hernandez, and that's it. And all of a sudden, they're making moves, and I'm going, where in the world did that come from?
Okay. My turn.
That's fine. Okay. I just haven't been paying attention.
My turn.
Because I don't write on sports on the West Coast.
You can call the Mariners buyers with this deal they made. They got Chris D'Onofrio from San Diego. Nothing against Chris D'Onofrio. Kid can hit the ball. But literally, he's a bit of a flash in the pan. To compare him to someone you would know, Brian LaHare. There you go. All right. Hey, no offense. What?
Wasn't he in the Cleveland organization at the beginning of this year? I believe he was
in spring training. Yes, he was. And then he got cut for good reason.
Because he sucks.
No, he's so bad.
He's horrible.
Oh. But yeah. Nothing wrong with
Chris
D'Onofrio.
He went to Japan for a little bit.
Yeah.
He's not exactly Tom Selleck, is he?
No.
No mustache to speak of.
Like I said, nothing wrong with D'Onofrio. But literally, if you want to call them buyers at the deadline for adding Chris D'Onofrio for Abraham Almonte and Stephen Kolshien, okay.
All I'm saying is,
Yeah, they added a guy. The Mariners. We added Chris Dickerson a couple of weeks ago. Whoopee-doo!
I'm just saying, the Mariners are not usually a name associated with doing anything on the trade deadline. They usually just sit there and do jack crap. So it just, my note here in my paper, and yes, as stupid as this podcast has sounded, I did make notes. Okay.
Shock always makes
sense. I said.
He's adorable.
Did
like
anybody know that the Mariners had resurrected from the dead? Yeah, neither did I. Okay, you see my point. That is exactly my point. Okay. Now, the Nationals got a dribble. We know about that. The Orioles got Andrew Miller. Who cares? Is this a big trade, Kurt? You're the guy.
Yeah.
Who's plugged into baseball because you sit all day at work looking at MLB trade rumors. Okay. Which I'm kidding.
Okay.
He has a real job.
I do. What trade are we talking about? What are we talking about here?
The silence was gone. We were talking about the Orioles getting Andrew Miller from the Red Sox.
All right. The Miller trade is good for Baltimore. Their pen has been hurting a bit, but this is another one of those things that the Red Sox did kind of the same thing with the John Lester trade. Okay, chances are John Lester is coming back to Boston, okay? Because he's, like we said, rent a player for Oakland. He wants to come back to Boston. If the price is right, he's going to be a Red Sox next season. He's going to be a Red Sox next season. The same is probably going to be for Andrew Miller. Miller, been up in the he's been up in the pen the last 2 years solidly. Before that, he was playing for Pawtucket. Got to see him play a couple times. Really good pitcher, really good player. Tall, lanky. I believe he's a left-hander. Got a lot going for him. The Red Sox traded him because literally they could get something out of him. So they got this Eduardo Rodriguez kid that I do like his potential. But the whole point of it is that they're pretty sure they're going to get Andrew Miller back on a deal next season because he's going to want to come back to Boston. And literally, this is going to help the Orioles in their push to go toward the playoffs. That's all it's doing.
Are they really that close?
Who?
I mean, I haven't followed
Baltimore?
The East very closely. Are they – what's their deal?
They're in the hunt. And that is – pretty much about it. They're not above and beyond where they were the last two seasons, where they just kind of shock and awed everybody. Basically, Oakland has taken the storm away from Baltimore. Baltimore has played much better in the last few years than they had in the last 20. But besides that, we've seen a lot more work and a lot of here and there out of Oakland that has kind of stolen the thunder from Baltimore. To get you the official standings, ladies and gentlemen, right now Baltimore in the East, they are leading it. Not by much, just two games over Toronto. But
oh, yeah, Toronto.
They needed a little bit to solidify what they got going on up there. And it made sense to add another pen arm. When you can get someone like Andrew Miller, yeah, it helps. So you got to make it happen.
Now here's an ADD moment.
Yeah.
Since we're killing time for the end of the podcast.
Okay.
It's always bugged me how in press conferences with the Red Sox, with their name, how it's spelled.
Yeah.
How all of a sudden when, like, say, Nomar Garcia-Parra, when he retired and went back to the Red Sox basically on a one-day contract so he could retire with Boston.
Yeah.
How he says, I always wanted to retire a Red Sox. Now, Red Sox, for those of you who don't know, which I don't know who you would be, is spelled with an X on the end. Not an S, so that's technically singular. But we treat it as plural, and then say it's a Red Sox. So wouldn't it technically be the Boston Red Soxes?
Sure.
Or are we treating it like Fox?
Okay, are you literally going to go all grammar Nazi on
me
right
Soxen?
Now? No.
I'm just saying it bugs me. I don't care how they do it. It just bugs me.
Okay. Literally, John Lester was a Red Sox playing for the Red Sox. It's
but he
pretty
wears
simple.
Red Sox.
Good
Still,
for him.
Because he plays for the Cardinals. But now they have cool stripes on him.
Lester?
No.
Oakland.
He still has cool socks, though.
He does.
All right. That wraps it up, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk to you later.